An archipelago of just under 1.5 million people, tucked between the eastern coast of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, Bahrain boasts two UNESCO World Heritage Sites. The most recent is the Pearling Trail. A stroll through the narrow streets of the old city of Muharraq, past century-old pearl merchant houses with beautifully carved wooden doors. The Minister of Culture, Sheikh Hamay bin Mohammed al-Khalifa, has fought to preserve these sites. As she sees it, promoting culture is essential to sustaining Bahrain's economy.
Cultural tourism brings wealth. When you have an archaeological site where the locals make handicrafts like pottery, if you develop the handicraft and create a nice path throughout the site, as we have done for the Pearl Trail, the returns will benefit the national economy and the citizens.
The renovation of the Pearling Trail is set to cost $50 million. With oil prices hovering around $30 per barrel, budget cuts have forced Sheikh Hamay to turn to the private sector and individual sponsors for help. But this approach may not work for all cultural projects.
This is a tangible thing, the house. Something will keep your name on it. They will support you once you keep their name.
That's Bayan al-Barak Kanu, the Iraqi founder of El Rewaq Art Space in Manama.
But if you have something that it is intangible, they don't know what's the result, which is like the art, is the most difficult thing to get support.
Every year, El Rewaq puts on an outdoor arts festival called The Nest, part of Kanu's efforts to support young artists and educate the public. For Kanu, investing in culture isn't just a good economic bet.
When we started doing the public art, that had really changed the mindset. We are consumers' mindset. It's about having something, you own it, possess it. What we are introducing is art for the art's sake, and it raises questions. It raises many responsibilities.
The Ministry of Youth now wants to replicate The Nest. But El Rewaq still depends on the generosity of art collectors, many of whom also happen to be members of ruling families in the Gulf. Back at the conference, Palestinian cultural activist Omar Al-Khatan points out it isn't always clear where the line is between public and private funding.
The Gulf has that particular, rather peculiar condition where states very often act like families and families often act like states. And that also includes the way that the arts are funded.
Al-Khatan felt the conference discussions overlooked something essential: politics.
Everybody was speaking as if, in a way, they'd forgotten that most of the area is in civil war, and that actually culture is not able to resolve problems at the moment. Culture is a victim. And I mean, the software and the hardware, not just the monuments, the people and their ideas and their imaginations.
Indeed, since the Arab Spring, much of the region has been in upheaval. The rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia in particular has taken a heavy human toll in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and in Bahrain, where a popular uprising was brutally quashed by GCC troops in March 2011.
What we're witnessing at the moment is a very radical weakening of the states that have upheld the political system in the region. And I don't think that that's going to leave the arts and cultural worlds unaffected.
But Sheikh Hamay says politics did not interfere in her work to promote culture in Bahrain.
Art has nothing to do with politics. We try to keep politics away from the realm of art. Art is a free space in which one listens to the other. One listens, makes a judgment, and then decides.
However, with the Islamic State armed group wreaking havoc on ancient monuments to the north, a civil, inclusive conversation about investing in culture does not seem to be in the cards just yet.